So we turn today to the second parak of Pirkei Avos of this week, Be'ez Hashem, and it begins with a statement from Rebbe. Of course, Rebbe Ranossi, the redactor of the Mishnah, Rebbe Narkadosh, he's sometimes called, and so on. And he has a number of important statements. In the first Mishnah, he says, "Ezoi derech yishar sheyavar lo ha'adam kol shetifaris lo'osof tifaris lo min ha'adam." What paths should a person take? That should a person take in life that'll bring credit to him and for himself? It's whatever earns him, so to speak, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the glory or the esteem of his fellow man. And it's an important point. It's kind of the sort of an analog to something we find in the Torah. And we know that when the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven wanted to remain Ma'aver LaYarden on the eastern bank of the Jordan River, so Moshe Rabbeinu objected very angrily initially. Because he thought they were trying to once again dissuade people from going into Eretz Yisrael, as had done 40 years earlier with the Meraglim. And then they said, no, we're going to come in and fight, and so we'll come back. We all know the story and the famous condition that was set up. You know, we know that all the Mishpat HaTanoim and Halacha come from the Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Reuven, but the expression the Torah uses there is the Yisem Nekiyim Me Hashem Umi Yisrael. You have to be clean, you have to be correct or proper, not only the eyes of Hashem, the eyes of other people as well. And that's an important point. That's a pasuk in the Torah. And that's sort of like a backdrop, I think, to this statement of Rebbe, because it's not only Tiferes La'osa, okay? It's not only, not only to Tiferes for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Tiferes La'osa, Tiferes L'min Adam, it's a credit for himself and the fellow people have to see it. It's not enough to say, well, I'm doing what's right in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God knows I'm doing is right. That's important, obviously. But that's not what Rebbe's telling you. It has to be something that other people will also see. We do care what other people say. And the person, what you present to other people in terms of how you act and how you interact and so on, is part of our relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. It's not enough to say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows I did was right. That's good enough. That's the whole din. We spoke earlier this year in your day, right, at the beginning. You know, the beginning of Siman Tzadi Zion about Maris Ayin and then milk, coconut milk and so on the table, etc. So we're concerned about Maris Ayin, but here in the positive sense, you want people to see that what you do is right. So there's really two different things, right? I think we spoke in Yoredeya about the din, the Mishnah Shkolim, that the person who had to collect the Shkolim from the chamber in the Beis HaMikdash went in without any folds or pockets, any creases in his pants, lest anybody suspect that he's even, somehow skimming a few coins off the top for himself. But as I say, it's not limited to the realm of not doing things, but also, yes, doing things. People should do things in a way that other people look and see, what that person is. And that really, actually, is nothing less than a manifestation of Avas Hashem. The Gemara says toward the end of Yuma, I think it's on Daf Pei Vav, the Gemara in Yuma says that if a person, people will see that this person is a Talmud Chacham, is a Ben Torah, and there's a certain way he acts with other people, and they'll say, oh, wow, blessed is the God of such a person. Of course, the Gemara goes on to say the flip side. If somebody is a Talmud Chacham, and so on and so forth, and a Ben Torah, but then he behaves miserably to other people, then people curse and say, what a terrible, terrible God. But I'm talking on the positive side now. Your actions, carry weight. And therefore, Rebbe is telling us we have to be careful what people what people think in terms of how we act also. He also mentions, Hevizor b'mitzah kala b'chamura. That's an interesting question in its own right. What's a mitzah kala? What's a chamura? We don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hierarchy of mitzahs. Certain things which we think are minor and unimportant, they're actually considered sometimes very major. We don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ranking system for the mitzahs. David HaMelech says, Avon akeva yisubeni. I was tripped up by the mitzvahs I stamp on my feet. Sometimes the things we consider to be less important than other things, we don't really know. I think I mentioned once, there used to be years ago when I was in the Beis Medrash in our yeshiva, so we learned Rosh Hashanah Kola, we learned in the third floor of first hall. I think now the JSS Beis Medrash is there maybe, but we used to learn there, and they used to put up signs, that bulletin board in the back, I think still do, and they would put up signs, there's always a person in the yeshiva who checked your suit for shatnez. And now Baruch Hashem, it's much more popular. One time, shatnez was a forgotten mitzvah, and I still remember they had in Yiddish, like it was a cartoon strip, they had in Yiddish two panels. The first panel, the person was being offered what looked like a non-kosher piece of meat, and the other person is saying, his hands up, he doesn't want it. So under that, it said, kashrus yo. Okay? Kashrus, tarfus nisht. right? Tarfus nish, treifus nish. They're not going to accept it. The next panel is putting on his jacket. But shatnas yah, yeah, shatnas is okay. Shatnas is also alav in the Torah. The same way eating tarfus is alav in the Torah. And the idea was you should get your suits checked. So some guy in the yeshiva checked suits. That was the official ad. But in any event, that was a mitzvah kala. Sometimes you have a mitzvah that somehow people think are less important. It seems that the Rambam in his Perush HaMishnah here gives us an example of mitzvah kala speaking Lashon HaKodesh. You can take for that. That's Simchas Yontif. It's interesting to look into what he might mean by that. Okay. Also, the end, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, but the end of the mission, it says, take a look at three things, and you'll never do an Aveira. Dala Mala Mala Mecha, right? Ayin Roa, Ba'azun Shamas, V'chol B'Sechem B'Sefer Nechtofim. You know that people are much more careful about how they act and how to behave if they know they're being watched. They know they're being watched, right? If you know you're being filmed, okay, maybe not now, I don't know, but usually when you're being filmed, you know, you want to look nice and dress yourself up and so on. You're concerned when you're being looked at by other people. So you always remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching. That'll keep you away from Aveira. The second Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel, Deuteronomy's son, the next Rabbi Gamliel, says Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. Now this is a major statement. We know that the Rav Shmuel Shafal Hirsch. Built that as his motto for the whole, you know, the Frankfurt Kehillah, the Torah, Torah Derech Eretz. It's still their motto today. They had many different understandings of what Derech Eretz means. You know, Derech Eretz means the way a person behaves. You know, Derech Eretz, you have Derech Eretz and Kovod, you know, you have to have Torah with Derech Eretz. There are many different interpretations. But I think in the broadest sense, Derech Eretz means how a person lives, right? How the Derech Eretz, the way of the earth, the way of the world, okay? And that a person should not cut himself off, should not divorce himself from what's going on in the world around them, for most cases. That's what it means. Yofet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Torah is not supposed to be removed from your behavior. We mentioned this back in the first parak. Torah is not simply an intellectual discipline, or it's not a matter of accumulating information, but rather it's a way of life. That's what it means. It's one possibility. So what's meant by Yofet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Okay, derech eretz meaning a little sense, literal sense, an occupation that you're doing something productive in society, and not just sitting somewhere and maybe accumulating information just for yourself and learning. That doesn't mean that we don't value people learning, but ultimately this should be a goal, right? The person is learning for the purpose of becoming a posek, a rav, a teacher, so on and so forth, and a person indeed has to learn on his own even if it's not his goal. Okay, it's not his occupation. However, ultimately, a person has to live in the world in which we live. Torah im derech eretz, meaning having a way of life. And, just to isolate yourself, well, there might be some people who can do that, but for the most part, that's not doable. And I think that's what Rabbi Gamliel is telling us over here. For some people, okay, it's possible for them to live, and maybe, we can argue that there should be some people who do with it, they're devoted in Torah every moment and so on. But for most people, that's not within the realm of possibility. People have to make a living, and so therefore you have to have Torah im derech eretz, right? You have to have, when you pursue your living, you have to have Torah as a piece of it. And I think how far you take it in terms of how professional and what your professional training has to be in the whole college and this. Okay, so that's a big debate. But what I'm trying to point out is that Rabbi Gamliel is telling us that most people, since they do have to work and do have to make a living and do have to, support a family and so on and so forth, so he's telling us, Yofet Talmud Torah im derech eretz. Okay, Talmud Torah should be part of that, should be part of your life. We know that actually... We mentioned this in the past. Also, the Gemara says Nedarim that in the time of the Churban Abayis, so one of the averas was Shalom Berchu B'Torah Tchila. They didn't say Berchas HaTorah. So everyone asks, what do you mean? That's such a big aver. I mean, Berchas HaTorah is an important mitzvah. Maybe even the Raisa, according to some, the Ramban. But still, it doesn't seem to be such a thing. So the idea is, one second, when we would perform the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, so we say Berchas HaTorah in the morning, right? We say Berchas HaTorah. So, okay, so let's say I say Berachas HaTorah, and I learn a few things that's in the Siddur there, Eil Dvarim, and so on, and then I go to work, and I'm busy a whole day at my job. Now I come back in the evening, and I go to a shir. Shouldn't you have to say Berachas HaTorah again? After all, the whole rest of the day, you weren't learning, right? So wasn't there a hefsek? Let's say I make a brach in the morning, I eat something, I don't eat something the whole rest of the day, I make a new brach when I come and eat again. Right? You know, you don't just say the bracha you say in the morning covers everything you eat the whole rest of the day. You don't have to make another bracha. Or we don't say that. There's been a hesech hadas. So too, when it comes to Torah, no, wasn't there a hesech hadas? Wasn't there a fact that I stopped learning now and I went to my job and I was interacting with people and busy with this, that, and the next thing all day long? Now I come back, I'll come home, I'll open up a Gemara, I'll go to a Chumashia, whatever, you know, I learned Daf Yomi. So should I have to make an Aruch of the Torah? And the answer is no. Because ultimately, there's never really supposed to be any hesech hadas from Torah. Torah is not just learning. Talmud Torah is not just the act of learning and sitting in front of a sefer and learning, but rather living. That's the Ofer Torah, Talmud Torah, in Derech Eretz. The person's whole life, the person when he's at work, and he's not thinking about Torah at all, per se, right? The person's in the office, and he's taking care of business needs, but he's guided by Torah that's always in the background. It's like, you have a mother who has a baby, a father has a baby, but more the mother cares for the baby, right? You know, and then she goes back to work after X amount of time. That means she forgot about the baby, doesn't care about the baby anymore? No, the baby, the same with the father, but perhaps even more so with the mother. Even when they're at work, you never forget about your baby. You never forget about your children. Even though right now I'm not thinking about them, I'm at work. Yeah, but they're always in the back of your head. They're always, you know, in your mind. And so that's what the idea of Torah, and that may be the idea of Yofa Talmud Torah, Im Derech Eretz. The third Mishnah Gimel, have his hearing, but Roshos, it goes back to what we said, that's some of the first parak also. Roshos means government rulers and so on. It says beware of rulers. That's what it means. Okay? Beware of rulers. Unfortunately, again, that may have been the time of Gamaliel and the time of the Romans and so on, but in general, I think the missionary telling us, be careful of people who are, you know, who are politicians in the sense that they, you know, behave in such a way that you're not really sure if they're sincere. No, I'm not saying there are no sincere politicians. Okay, and I don't mean politicians only, people who are pursuing politics as a career. I'm talking about people who, you know, who are in positions of authority, and they tell you one thing, and you're not really sure, they're telling you the truth, and so on, and or they're saying it for their own needs, because they want to get reelected, they want to impress you, they want to impress somebody else. You have to be very careful. You have to be careful. That's what it says in this Mishnah. Shein mekarven ol adam l'tzorach atzman. When they act friendly, it's only you know, for their own needs. Now, irrespective of what the Mishnah is telling us about people in positions of rulership, the implication is that in general, a person should not behave that way. Okay, in general, a person should not. A person should not befriend somebody only because it's their utilitarian benefit, right? Right, you know, you should befriend somebody and relate to somebody because that's the right thing to do, not because it's going to bring you something in the long run. Ultimately, it might, but that shouldn't be your goal, right? Near and kaov mishas hanasa, you know, they're there when it works for them. They're right next to you, right? They're smiling, they're with you. Then, as soon as a person's in trouble, nobody's home, right? That the Mishnah is telling us, aside from giving us the caution. The cautionary words, and this is also telling us, don't behave that way in your interaction with other people. Don't be like those people. Mishnah Dalet, the same speaker, Asei Ritzono Kirtzonecho. Okay, you should make his will as if it were your own will. We should work on wanting to do what our Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. Right, that his will should be like our will. Ultimately, he'll reciprocate accordingly, and he'll make our will his will. We say he ratzon. We say all the time. How many tefillas have that phrase? He ratzon mufanecha. What do we say that for? He ratzon mufanecha. I want it. I want this. And we just said by Shabbos we had Rosh Chodesh mentioned, right? So it says I'm the previous Shabbos. I'm sorry, last Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. So previous Shabbos. He ratzon mufanecha. Shalainu. What do you mean? I want to have Chaim Arukim, Chaim Shalom, all those things we mentioned. So we ask Hashem Baruch Hu, He ratzon mufanecha, may be your will also. That's the idea of He ratzon. Right, your son Shebana Beis Hamikdash. I want it. You should, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, let it be your will, because that's what I want. You should want it also. Hopefully, right? A parent wants what's the best for the child, right? So the child wants something. The parent really wants it. So, but how do we get that? The answer is I say Ritzono Kirtzonecha. What Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants, we make that into what we want. You know, in Al Nisim for Hanukkah, we have the expression Ravto Es Rivam. Right, you fought their battle. Whoa, thank you very much. Some raised the question, wait a minute, what were the Chashmonaim doing? They were fighting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Who's HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened on their behalf? They were fighting to protect the Beis HaMikdash, to protect Yiddishkeit and so on, everything that Hanukkah was about. Right, so it shouldn't say Rav Tes Rivam. Atobar Achamecha Rabim Amarat Elohem Beisar Sam Rav Tes Rivam. I mean, it wasn't their battle. They were fighting your battle. They were doing it for your Kamila Shem Eli, right? They were doing it for your sake. So why do we say Rav Tes Rivam? Right? Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did with it. The answer is it was their battle. Why was it their battle? Because it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's battle. Because it was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. So it became their battle. And that's why we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rav Tes. We said HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rav Tes Rivam. That's Yiratzon and so on. Finally, for today, the fifth Mishnah, Hillel, is back on the scene. And Hillel says the famous Al Tifrosh Min HaTzibur. He also says Al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Moscha. Okay, a person should be overconfident. That's also true. But what I want to focus on for today is the phrase Ba'al Todin Es Chavercha Shetagil Imkomo. Don't judge somebody else unless you reach his place. Okay, what does that mean? Don't judge somebody else. So usually it means until you're in somebody else's shoes. Right? You never know. It's unfair, and we're guilty of that all the time. Okay, we're guilty of assessing people and so on. We don't know. We don't know the background. We don't know all the information. This is a particularly vexing problem, in my opinion, nowadays, when there's some story that's reported, you know, on the internet or about a famous person or in some email or in some Facebook page about somebody not so famous or whatever, and we come to the conclusion about a person, and we don't know all the information. We're missing half the story. We hear the person said this, the person did that. Maybe he did. But what was the background? What happened? Don't judge someone else till you know the circumstance that he was in. So many times, we judge people, you know, we don't know the background. We're not in his place. We're not in his situation. And, there are countless examples probably we've all encountered in our lives. But I want to share something else that actually the Meiri hints at, but I'll take it a little different way. In his parish on Pirkei Avos, Tegilim Komo means you can't really tell a person until you see him in his place, Mim Komo, when he's behaving in his place. Sometimes outwardly, somebody behaves a certain way, but you can't really assess the person until you see him Lim Komo in his own environment. And this is Latov and Lera in a certain sense. Sometimes you have a person outwardly behaves a certain way, and we look to the person such a big tzaddik and so on and so forth. Yeah, but when you see him when no one's looking, in Komo, when he thinks no one's aware of it, you find out about that, then suddenly you have another assessment, right? So the idea is that sometimes a person, when you think nobody's watching, so then you behave a certain way, then we lose a certain respect for that person. But the same thing in the reverse. Okay, sometimes we think poorly of a person, but we're not in his place, meaning we don't really know what he does behind the scenes. Okay, everybody knows the famous story of the holy miser. You know, Shlomo Kabach made the story famous, but it precedes Shlomo Kabach. He's buried. The shul were there. Remember, he was buried in the cemetery of the Ramor, behind the Ramor shul. Right, this individual who was known to be very wealthy, but not to give too much tzedakah. Didn't give it, was miserly. And to the point that when he passed away, nobody wanted to come to the funeral. Nobody wanted to be involved with him because he wasn't such a good person. Okay, so they buried him anyway. Fine. Then the following Shabbos, a woman comes on Friday morning to the Rav, Erev Shabbos, and says, every day for the last X number of months or years, somebody left food for Shabbos by my doorstep, and today nobody's there. I need money from the community. And another person came, another poor person came, and the following more people came, and so on. Suddenly everybody realized that this person was actually the one. He was private, in Komo, in his own private way. He didn't want people to know about it, in his own private way. So Al Tanis Chaver Shat, in Komo, okay, don't judge him. Don't judge him until you see him in the, in his environment and so on. When he, he's doing something privately. Again, sometimes it leads hopefully to a good conclusion. Sometimes it leads to a less good conclusion. And of course, the final statement of this mission is Al Tomer She'efna Esha Shemalot Tipone. Don't say, well, I'll have time later. I'll learn later. I'll learn when I have free time. I'll give you guys advice as someone older than you. And I've done it myself, not just in learning. I'm going to do this project. I'll do this. Oh, yeah, I'll have time over the summer. I have time here. I have time Pesach. The time doesn't necessarily come. The time doesn't necessarily come. You have an opportunity to do something, do it right away. Okay, have a good morning, everybody. I have Shem and Shem at 11:30. And you have the sheets for today. Shem Kuvav. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you, Rabbi.